Good evening, Sharks fans. Well, the Sharks come off that quite epic road trip across Western Canada and kind of fall flat on their faces, losing to the Capitals 5-1. I am your host, Eric Landy. I will be joined by AJ Strong any minute now, but I wanted to go ahead and get started and get the game recap going. So, if you want to be a part of the show, let me get it up here. If you want to be part of the show, please use that hashtag TealTownUSA. Follow us on Twitter at TealTownUSA. You can hit us up using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course the YouTube chat, where I'll be monitoring what you guys are saying, where the discussion's kind of flowing, and all that good jazz. So again, if you are just tuning in, the Sharks unfortunately lose 5-1. And really, I mean, like I said before, kind of, you know, they started off the game well, and they had we had that Kevin LeBanc goal set up by Joe Thornton in the first 2 minutes. I believe it came at 17:58 in the first period. And you thought, okay, you know, the Sharks are off to the races. You know, they kind of start off again with a really good showing. But then they get into some penalty trouble. And the penalty kill, which has been a staple of the Sharks and a staple of their winning, does them in again. And TJ Oshie goes ahead and gets a score. It was a little fluky, but I did not like the way that the Sharks kind of protected the net in that penalty kill. It seemed like they were a little bit all over the place in the defensive zone and didn't seem to have very much structure on that PK. So, you know, that was kind of a missed opportunity there, because if they would have killed that off, then you've got a little bit of momentum. You've got the lead. But instead, you've got TJ Oshie scoring, and you tie it up. And so then, you know, the Sharks are a little bit on their heels. And you've got Jacob Virana, who scores 11:33. Now the Sharks are down 2-1. They go into that second period and really, again, sloppiness through the defensive zone, sloppy through the neutral zone, and quite frankly, sloppy in the offensive zone. Their passes were not clicking tonight. They had, I guess, miscue after miscue on the ice. And I don't know if it was an ice problem tonight, but the puck didn't seem like it was settling down. Of course, both teams have to play on the same surface. But again, it just looked off, and there were blown tires left and right. You guys had, they had guys tripping over themselves. You had just really, really poor play. And that really kind of went into the second period. You thought that, okay, maybe they took that first period intermission to really regroup, but they weren't able to. And you get Alex Ovechkin scoring his 39th goal, 4:14 into that second period. And now you're seeing the big wave of red and white, you know, starting to, you know, bear down on the Sharks. And it, you know, I think Washington just had, you know, the scent of victory, and they just kept pouring it on. TJ Oshie scores late in the second period. Really, I mean, at that time, 4-1, you know, the game was pretty much decided on that TJ Oshie goal, because honestly, the Sharks were going to need to have that second goal in that second period to really mount any kind of comeback. Unfortunately, they don't. They go down 4-1 going into that third period. And the third period, I mean, to me, wasn't enough urgency in their game. It didn't look like a 4-1 score, because, you know, we always see the score effects, you know, kind of go into play. And then you start to see the Sharks really put the rubber to the net. But we didn't see that. I think it took 10 minutes, 12 minutes to register their first shot on goal into the third period. So, you know, it's a little frustrating. You know, this is a team that has been, you know, firing on all cylinders, really making great first passes, really making, you know, the right decisions in the neutral zone and defensive zone. But tonight we didn't see that. And, you know, that first game coming back from a road trip, a long road trip, is always difficult. But you also have to wonder, you know, if they kind of thought that this was in the bag. So, I mean, to me, the game was really decided in that second period. And quite honestly, it was, you know, it was just a poor effort, poor execution. And like John is saying, we just got out hustled, plain and simple. Agreed. You know, Washington looked like they wanted it more. Going into the game, Erik Karlsson was listed as questionable. He ended up not playing and missing his 9th consecutive game. It's come out that it is a muscle injury in his groin. And, you know, we saw Brent Burns have this similar injury, 4 or 5 years ago now, and that's when they shifted him back to forward. So, you know, this isn't a trivial injury. Marty T saying, I'm kind of ready for EK65 to be a Shark again. Agreed. I'd like to see Jones starts treated like a pitch count down the stretch. Okay. Yeah, I see what Rob Iman's saying. He's wanting a little bit more of a shorter leash for Martin Jones. And I tend to agree there. I think that Martin Jones needs to get a little bit more rest. We saw how well he was doing coming out of the break with some rest. And yeah, I mean, the rebound control was not there. Jones had some good saves, to be honest. He was wishy-washy all game. Yeah, agreed. I mean, really, the way that you know Martin Jones is engaged in the game is to see the way he controls the rebounds. When he's controlling the rebounds well, he is putting them in a position for the forwards to execute up passes, putting it in a position where the defense is able to relay it to the forwards and really get that rush going. Tonight, the rebounds were kind of flying all over the place, and the Capitals were able to take advantage of that. So Skylar Greenberg saying, let's not start this debate. We just got past the Burns to forward. John, thank you very much for the tip. $10 for LeBanc. Yeah, I mean, LeBanc is doing really well. He was a guy that I circled as someone who needed to really step up his game. And you know what? In this stretch, he's played well. Thornton had giveaway after giveaway tonight. And I don't know exactly what that was, but he looked slow out there. He had a lot of back checks, Capitals back checking on him and stealing the puck off of him. And really, it was not a great game from him tonight. The other guy that I wanted to see more from was Marcus Sorensen. You know, he's supposed to be a guy that shoot first, especially when you have two playmakers. And right now he needs to do more. I thought that the fourth line actually looked pretty decent. Hurdle's line, I thought Hurdle and Evander Kane looked good. But Donskoy, again, the guy who is supposed to be the playmaker on that line, was just getting the puck stripped left and right. Just not a great game. And Pavelski, Couture, and Meyer were okay, but they seemed a little flat. So, you know, that's kind of the tale of the game tonight. They just looked like they were ragged, and honestly, their mental fortitude was tested, and their game and puck management skills were not there tonight. They were not on display. And, you know, give the Capitals full marks. They executed on all of the Sharks' mistakes, and it cost the Sharks. So that being said, you kind of file this one away into the letdown, disappointing, coming off of a road trip kind of game. And, you know, we look forward to the next game, and you're playing Vancouver. And you know what? The boys better bring their A game against Vancouver. And the reason why I'm saying that is because they utterly embarrassed that team. And they utterly embarrassed that goalie. And you know that revenge is going to be on the mind of the Canucks. And you've got Calgary, who is kind of middling right now. And tonight was an opportunity to put yourself 2 points ahead of them. And the Sharks couldn't do it. So we'll see what Saturday brings in the weekend. But yeah, definitely a missed opportunity tonight, and definitely some sloppy play. Give me 1 second while I take a quick drink of water here. Okay. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of the chat and what, you know, people are kind of reacting towards. We've got, you know, people saying, you know, out-hustled. We got people saying the refs were not great tonight. I agree. Reffing wasn't the issue, though. This was definitely a team that looked flat, but the reffing didn't help. And, you know, I feel like that was a factor, a contributing factor for sure, but it wasn't the overall factor. We've got some questions on backup goaltending. Do we see Jones or Dell against Vancouver? You know, the way that Peter DeBoer operates, I think he's going to put Jones in. I think he's going to want him to have a bounce back game, and we'll probably see Jones in net. And I'm guessing that we probably won't see Deller until another back-to-back. And I think that he's got some bugs to work out of his game. He did put on a pretty good show against Edmonton. I think that was Edmonton. And, you know, he can get some confidence going further into the season. But again, I think he's kind of got a short leash here. And we've talked about, you know, what the Sharks should do at the deadline. We're right now we're at the 14th, so we're about 11 days. Yeah, 11 days from the trade deadline, and we're going to wonder, you know, what the Sharks are going to do. I don't see them going out and getting a goaltender. I really don't. I think if anything, you're going to see one of the two Barracuda goalies back up Jones and maybe give them a shot. Could we see a three goalie situation? Doubtful. I don't think the Sharks would do that. And I think that honestly, just looking at the structure of their contracts, you know, Deller's got another year. And, you know, if anything, Peter DeBoer just, you know, keeps trotting out these guys to see what he's got. I don't foresee them having a call up right now. And I don't see them going to get a backup goaltender. I think the Sharks have maybe one shot at something, you know, as far as capital going into the trade deadline. You know, the second round pick is really all of the trade assets they have in the draft. I think you're going to be looking at a prospect and maybe a lower round pick as something the Sharks could dangle for a rental. But again, I think we're going to be seeing something like the Eric Fair move, where it's a depth forward, a center. I think that honestly, Peter DeBoer is looking for somebody to step up on that fourth line. Lukáš Radil is, you know, some nights he's bringing it and some nights he's not. I felt tonight he had a lot of jam in his game though. Barkley Goodrow has been playing his tail off, and especially having to adapt to being a center. And I like his game. He's not a guy I would take out. I would look for a fourth line center. And that's what I think that the Sharks are probably going to be looking for. Because other than that, I mean, guys, they've got guys and gals. They've got balanced scoring across the board. I mean, they've got, I think it's 9 players with 10 goals or more. They've got, I was looking it up today, they've got 7 players who are, you know, looking at 50-point-plus seasons. I mean, it's really, it's a deep lineup and it's very balanced, but I don't see them going out and trying to get that impact forward. I don't foresee a Wayne Simmonds coming. I don't foresee a Michael Ferland or something like that coming. I just don't see the Sharks having the assets to swing a trade. Okay, so we've got, would Senators offer a sweetheart deal to get our upgraded pick? Oh boy, man, the Senators, that is just a train wreck of a franchise, and especially with the rumors coming out that Stone and Duchesne are kind of at a standstill right now with the contract negotiations. It wouldn't surprise me if both of those players are shipped off, especially if they don't get anything done by the trade deadline, any kind of contract extensions done by the trade deadline. Jerry thinking EK65 returns soon. I think you put him in against Vancouver. I think that you roll him out against a lineup that's not as physical as, you know, a Vegas or a Calgary, and get him some reps. And so I think we'll see him Saturday. That's my prediction. Marty T saying, imagine even DeZingle. Yeah, I think again, Ryan DeZingle is going to be a guy that is going to be shipped off. And Eugene Melnick, I think at a Toronto, I think it's was some kind of Toronto sports dinner, was saying that, oh, in 2020 and 2021, that's when the Senators are planning on being a cap team. Now, I'll believe it when I see it, but I think he's basically signaling to the franchise that, look, we could have some high-profile players leaving, and, you know, they can be part of the solution if they want to get their paydays later and take some semi-small bridge deals. And to be quite honest, I think he's just doing that to save face. The guy is, I mean, to me, hands down the worst owner in the league. I think he's a guy that consistently puts his foot in his mouth. And quite honestly, I would think that the NHL is looking for different ownership for the Senators. And especially a Canadian franchise that they're trying to keep afloat. I don't see them have any appetite for moving that franchise. So, you know, again, ownership issues. It's the same deal over and over again. It's the reason why Erik Karlsson was run out of town. So, I mean, that being said, how does that relate to the Sharks and their deadline? They're going to be looking for that bargain basement rental. And again, I think we're looking at something like a fourth line player, a fourth line center at that. AJ, what are you thinking on trade deadline? We kind of already broke down the game. You know, to summary, we, you know, kind of came to the conclusion it was a stinker, and it was a game, you know, that the Sharks tend to lose when they come back from a long road trip.
No, it's your typical, prototypical, you know, hey, we kicked ass on the road, let us come home as the reigning victors, blah, blah, blah. And then it doesn't turn out that well. I'll be the first one to say that Jones should have had that first goal. Not going to lie. You know, Jones is working on what, like a 937 since the All-Star break? put together a really good string of games. The defense did him no favors tonight. There's a couple times where I thought Braun and Vlasic, especially early on, both of them seemed to be out of position. It's going to happen. They're going to dial it in. They're going to get EK65. If he's not back versus Vancouver, I mean, he's taken two full practices. If he's not back versus Vancouver, chances are
he had a setback.
Yeah, he'll be here versus Boston, or he will start the next road trip after this three-game homestand. So I'm not hugely worried. And I ran the numbers for the remaining schedule between Calgary and the Sharks. And if you just go on it based by percentages, and I'm not lying, I ran these numbers. And if you look at those, the winning percentage of the teams that the Sharks have left to face is 48.21. You look at Calgary, 48.26. So, and if I remember correctly, I think the Sharks have like one, maybe two more home games than Calgary. And I think Calgary switches time zones once or twice more. Calgary switches once or twice more time zones than San Jose. So it's incredibly close. Incredibly close. It could come down to, honestly, the Sharks face Calgary the 78th, 79th game of the season. The division could come down to that, people. So let's just get everything dialed back in. It's one of those ones where, hey, they just went on a great tear. We have seen this story before.
Yeah.
Went on a great tear and they flubbed one. And it's not like Washington's not severely pissed off how they left things last time with San Jose. So I have no problem with this. You know what? Take care of Vancouver on Saturday. If they can put up another touchdown, I'm fine with that. I don't think they're going to be starting a 19-year-old in his very first game ever. I think we will probably see Markstrom on Saturday. But yeah, take care of that. Take care of Boston. And there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm saying they have to be ready for a really pissed off Vancouver team. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we see, you know, a team that comes out and really blitzes the Sharks in that first 5 minutes of the game, because they, quite frankly, were embarrassed. They were embarrassed on home ice.
They were embarrassed, but, you know, Vancouver is a one-line team. You know, it's Besser. It's Pettersson. You keep those guys at the perimeter, get good rubber on the, you know, they don't have much of a defense. It's a couple of key guys. So you keep those guys off the score sheet, you're going to be fine. And I have every confidence that the Sharks will take care of business Saturday against Vancouver. Boston could be a different story. We'll see what happens. And then they get this great road trip. I mean, Pittsburgh fighting for playoff position. Columbus doing very well. Then you get a little lull in Detroit. We know Detroit. See, but that's the other thing. Detroit is literally a team that has nothing to lose. Those teams can be a little scary from time to time. And then you're at Boston again. Yeah. But look forward to March, because March is ridiculous. You play like, I don't know, 18 games and only four of them are away from SAP. So, you know, get through February, get through these remaining games with a winning record, at least keep pace with Calgary, and then welcome the fact that you've got a lot of games at home at SAP. Stay focused.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that this is, you know, the division is really in their hands. I mean, right now, the Sharks and Calgary are tied in points. I think Calgary has played one fewer game. The Sharks have the opportunity here to take first in the Pacific and take first in the Western Conference. I mean, the Sharks to me have the deepest lineup in the West. I don't see any other
team. Down the middle.
No, not even down the middle. I think depth scoring wise, I don't think there's a team that can really touch how balanced the attack is. And I think it's fair to say that this is the most balanced Sharks scoring team ever.
I don't have a problem with saying that, but there are a couple guys that I would like to see a little more consistency out of. Those names being, of course, Sorensen and Meyer. You know,
yes,
we saw both of them have really good streaks and be very consistent for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, LeBanc out of nowhere is like a scoring machine. Now, is that sustainable? No. I completely believe that LeBanc will probably have one goal over the next 10 games, despite having, you know, five over the last three games. So, yeah, you know, this is not a sustainable thing, you know. But I just go back to, I just want to finish this, because the other thing you have to keep in mind, February 27th, people, that is when the Sharks and Calgary line up schedule wise, because right now it's kind of like, you know, the Calgary has a game in hand and then they play, but then the Sharks play later that night and blah, blah, blah. It all evens out on February 27th. Remember, there's also a little thing called the trade deadline coming up. Calgary looking for help, probably at the goalie position. You could make a debate, make an argument. Maybe the Sharks might look for something for the goalie department. I wouldn't. I think, you know, you have, if for some reason the wheels fall off in Nets, you still have Bebo and Cornosh who are doing very well. So I don't have a problem with that. I'd like to see a little more consistency out of the fourth line, but I feel like they've been playing very well. I'm actually a little surprised. I wonder if Gambrell is still fighting the flu. I wouldn't have had a problem seeing Gambrell slot in tonight over Melker Carlson.
No, and I totally agree with you there. I just don't see that being a Peter DeBoer move. He always got to have himself some milk, you know, so got milk is kind of PDB's MO.
Yeah, but that dude comes, I got to admit it, man, that guy comes through from time to time, man. When you least expect it.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. When you least expect it. I mean, oh boy. Well, I did have one question because you were there at the game tonight. What did the ice look like tonight?
Looked fine.
It looked fine. I just kept seeing the guys blow tires left and right. And
no, I think it was fine. Although there was I wish I could remember the guy from Washington, because somebody snapped their twig early on in the first period, and it was just like left there right at the blue line. One of the Capitals completely did not. He completely forgot that it was there and just right. Oh, it was very funny. And then very soon after that, that's when the official went, oh, maybe I should go pick that up. But yeah, that was I thought the ice was fine. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, you've had rain in San Jose. You know, it's been raining for like the last 4 days straight. It's going to continue that way throughout this weekend. You know, the ice is not going to be great. There's a shit ton of humidity in the air. But both teams play on the same sheet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is, unfortunately. And I hate that term, but it is what it is. So you go with it. Now, the whole thing is, if I remember correctly, let me see. Today's the 14th, right? So let me see. So in 2 days, you do have, well, see, now here you got a problem, kids. So unfortunately, so the Sharks play Vancouver Saturday night. Unfortunately, the Barracuda plays San Diego earlier that day.
Oh, no.
And then the Sharks play Boston on Monday night. And unfortunately, the Barracuda plays San Diego earlier that day. So what that essentially says is that there's going to be a crappy sheet of ice at SAP for the next two games. So, you know, make the most of it. Get used to it, kids. We've seen it in a couple of the post-game interviews. You know, I've seen that Couture has talked about it, but, you know, you're going to get a crappy sheet of ice from time to time. Now, between the humidity and then another team playing a game before you, it's not going to be great, but do what you can and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. What are your thoughts on trade deadline? I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about goaltending help. I agree totally with you on the fact that the Sharks have a pretty good goaltending pipeline.
It's decent.
Fix for that. I think if anything, they should go internal with Bebo or Cornash. I tend to believe that it's going to be more along the lines of an Eric Fair special. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's not going to be a lot. I don't care the fact that the deadline space that they have like 5.3 mil. It's going to be Doug Wilson. If there is a piece to be had, he's going after the right piece. He's not going after the flashy piece or the one that makes headlines. He's going to go after the guy that makes this team better. Is there somebody out there that can do that? Remains to be seen. But we're already talking about a team that's writing 8 defensemen. Remember, Carlson comes back. That means Ryan and Heat are both on the bench. Neither of them are going to be sent down because they're not going to pass waivers. So you have that. So you've got the press box left for one extra forward. Right now, it seems to be, you know, ping-ponging between Radil and Gambrell. If you bring another piece in, yeah, you can put Gambrell back down, but who is that piece going to be? Do not expect a Panarin, kid. Do not expect a Bobrovsky. It's not happening. Doug Wilson made his moves in the offseason.
Yeah, so, pretty much, you know, blew his load in the offseason, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking. You know what I'm looking for on trade deadline? I'm looking for like a day or two after where it says Erik Karlsson signs 8-year deal. That's what I'm looking for.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. What about there has been a rumor, and I don't, you know, rumors are as good as
I was gonna say, here we go.
Yeah. Pretty much practically a deal with the devil. Kovalchuk and
to the no, I guarantee you. Well, I don't want to say I guarantee you, but I would put money if Kovalchuk leaves LA for any reason whatsoever, it's to an Eastern team. He's not going to stay in the West.
Yeah, I to me though, the one scary thing about this is, could he, you know, because he was linked to the Sharks in the offseason. He might be able to be had for pennies on the dollar, especially if the Sharks absorb, cap. You know, if the Sharks take on his full cap hit and LA doesn't have to retain any salary, I could see them getting him for a pretty good bargain.
Yeah, but what's the return on that?
I don't see.
That's my thing. Dude, I don't want to give up, you know, Chekovic, Shemlevsky, any of those guys. You know that, oh my God, what the Merkley, you know, he is going nowhere. He's not even involved in discussions. So, and the Sharks don't have a lot of picks to play with. No, that's something I don't even consider. But, you know, again, Kovalchuk, that's that top. He's a top six. You could debate top 9, but the Sharks are looking for a second six guy, a bottom six guy. Kovalchuk does not fit that. You know, that's the Sharks are not going to get a Kovalchuk, a Panarin, any of those guys. You know, you had Boyle that's already been moved. You know, an interesting idea is maybe somebody from the Pacific Northwest, maybe an Alex Chiasson.
Yeah, that's a good name. I mean, you know, the Canucks are kind of in that really in between mode of buying and selling. I think he could be had for a good price. I mean, I think pretty much anything that's not nailed down to the boards and named Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, you know, you could pry out from Edmonton. And I mean, Edmonton might actually, you know.
I think the Sharks could get McDavid if they were willing to part with Couture and Hurdle and Kane and Burns and Carlson.
Yeah, I mean, but I that's an interesting thought because Sakara is coming close to being reactivated. They're going to have a cap crunch. Yeah. They need to shed salary and a roster spot. So, the, you know, Doug Wilson takes advantage of teams that are in those kind of binds.
Yeah. So I just, I don't see Wilson making any moves on defense. The only thing I see him doing is trying to shore up, trying to add a little piece to the, because the whole thing, again, you go back to that idea of the Sharks this year, for me, are not that 1-2-3-4 line team. It's like Vegas last season, where it's, you don't have a number one line or a number two or number three. You have three second lines.
Yeah.
It's, you've got the Couture line. Is that the top line? Well, if you look at recent scoring, no, Hurdle is the top line. So you still have as your third line center, Joe freaking Thornton. So, you know, maybe is there a piece that you can put, because Sorensen has kind of dropped off late. Maybe it's a case that you try to add just that one winger, just that side piece, and make your own Valentine's jokes now. But, you know, the Sharks need that little side piece that I think on the wing could get it done. There's some names out there, but again, what's the cost?
What about a guy like Zach Kassian? You know, somebody that could be.
I don't know. Anytime I just, that Canucks stink, just, you know. And I understand Kassian and Yannick Hansen, not the same player, but still, Vancouver stink all up in here.
Yeah, no, I agree, but it's just a guy that's another big presence, you know, a guy that's not afraid to get dirty if he has to. If the Sharks,
well, we heard the same thing about Yannick Hansen, though.
Well, no, but I mean Zach Kassian definitely has a reputation for somebody who will, you know, beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
You know. And if the Sharks are going to go against a Washington where they do have a Tom Wilson, or if they're going to line up against Calgary for a seven game series, that could be an interesting guy to have. And especially you can plug him in on the fourth line, got a little bit of skill. You know, he's not going to light up the world or anything, but again, you know, you look at that kind of a player that, you know, could just give you that little extra edge.
You know what I want? You know what I think this team needs? And I don't know if it's actually out there. This team needs a Steve Downey.
Yeah. Yeah,
Steve Downey would be perfect for this team. Just a guy who has a you know, a scotch of offensive touch, but could also just beat the crap out of you and keep the other team honest if they're trying to take liberties. I wish there was that, you know, and Steve Downey's were so far and few between. Now, granted, not a lot of teams needed them, but man, Steve Downey would be perfect for this team.
Rob Iman asking, should the Sharks shop at the Rangers fire sale? Again, it's going to come down to capital and what the Sharks have to offer. It's not a lot. I mean, look, the pick that you can give up is the second rounder. And honestly, you're going to basically seed next year's draft. You're going to have maybe four picks, five, you know, in the late rounds. Maybe you recoup a pick with Joakim Ryan if you're going to move him on, if you think Shimmick's the guy for Burns. But again, not a lot of assets here.
There's not a lot of assets. The assets that there are, they aren't exactly proven. I mean, we've seen, you know, Sasha, what's the other guy? Chekovic. There's a couple pieces. I mean, you can even look at Alex True or Francis Perron. There's a couple pieces, but you know, it's that whole thing of waiting for them to kind of ripen on the vine, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's certain, hold up, Skyler saying, do you think we could get Tom Wilson? No, no way in hell. And I'll tell you for twofold. First off, that's an Eastern Conference guy. You don't see guys like that really in the West for the most part, but which is funny because that's kind of flip-flopped over like the last 15 years. Used to be like the West was kind of, you know, there was some thumpers in there, whether it was a guy like, you know, Scott Parker or, I mean, to a lesser extent, Dustin Brown. But you, I mean, there were some pieces there where the East was much more speedy, and now it's kind of flipped a little bit. The West seems to have picked up the speed. I mean, obviously, you look at LA and Anaheim, who have, like, they were exposed in the playoffs last season. Like, that heavy duty hockey thing that got you through 5, 6, 7 years ago, it ain't making it now. You know, well, it's a speedster thing. Oh my God, can we stop talking about the Wayne train? The Wayne train is not stopping in San Jose.
I totally agree with you there.
And appreciate you watching by all means, but the Wayne train is not stopping here.
And honestly, the other thing about the Wayne train that a lot of people are not looking at is he hasn't played all that great this year. And he's got a lot of miles on that body.
And not on the best team, though, either.
Well, that's true. But again, you know, what's it going to take to get a guy like that? We don't have it.
No.
You know who might be a kind of an interesting guy would be like a Troy Brower. He could maybe be had out of Florida. You know, he's not on a great team right now. He's not playing great, but he's a playoff performer, and he's a guy that the Sharks would certainly love to have as a fourth line center.
Yeah, I would look at that. I would maybe even consider looking at like a Glenn Denning from Detroit. I mean, you know, he's only 1.8 against the cap for the next 3 years. That's a decent pickup. I mean, shit, even Vanek from Detroit. I mean, because you got to take into account Detroit is up against the cap. Yep. They don't have any space. So take that into account. I mean, you know that there's guys like Mantha are not going anywhere. You know, Ablicator signed long term. Nielsen, Larkin, they're all long term. And at the CU, only 2 years for him right now, but a 24-year-old, and the dude has had like three penalty shots this year. It's like the first time since like 1934 a Red Wing has pulled three penalty shots in a season. So I think Anatha CU is going to be there for the long haul. But I'm telling Luke Glendening, I would take a flyer on that. And yeah. I don't know that Detroit would be looking for more than, say, a fourth or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Mike Nevis is saying, wait, so let me get this straight. So you guys think that Ilya Kovalchuk has a chance of landing, but here, but not Simmons. Okay, the reason why I said Kovalchuk.
I was going to say, I don't have any inkling that Kovalchuk will get anywhere near, like he is as close to San Jose as he's ever going to get, but go ahead.
I'm just saying, the thing that we have to look at is what the Sharks have in assets. The biggest asset that they probably have is cap space, to be quite honest. So you're going to
look at 5.3.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to be looking to take on the dead weight.
So you're talking about a team that's looking, well, let me see, 5.3, you know, who is making 5.1 right now? Mike Hoffman.
Do you want to nuke any chance of Erik Karlsson resigning?
Never happening. But I still don't, even if there's that, I don't see Doug Wilson going like full bore up against the wall. I think Doug Wilson made the most of the offseason. And yeah, you have to give it to him. They went full bore after Tavares, and they had a spectacular plan B that worked perfectly.
Yeah,
so,
they definitely executed on that.
Yeah, so I have no issue with that. Again, I think, you know, you have to look at a guy, go look at some, go have fun on Cap Friendly, look at guys that are making, you know, between 1.2 and 1.8, somewhere less than 2 mil. But the, you know, it's the whole Doug Wilson mantra of, you know, he's got a great hockey IQ. He sees the game well. You know, he might not be the fleetest of foot, but he knows where the puck is going to be. He anticipates very well. That's what I see him going after. What the hell is Eric Ferrer doing right now?
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, that's the kind of guy that I would circle, you know, as what I would want. And you know, is it, we're kind of playing the game now of should the Sharks have re-signed him?
Yeah, I don't think the Sharks are going to re-sign for that that amount of money. You know, yeah, I think or the actually, term. I don't even know. I was going to say, you know what it was? It was not money. It was term. That's what it was. Because didn't he get like a 3-year deal or something?
It got 2 years.
Was it?
Yeah, 2 years.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, it wasn't enough.
But you're talking it, 2 years, but you're talking about 2 years for a guy who got called up for after playing with San Diego for, you know, so much of the season and then had a really good 2 months.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And so the other thing that we also have to look at are the traditional trade partners that Doug Wilson has, you know, and
there's that. I think the other thing that, of course, I don't think plays into Doug Wilson's hand is the fact that it's such a tight race for the wild card in the West. I mean, you've got Anaheim, who has won like, I don't know, 4 out of their last 24 games, yet they're like 6 points out of a wild card spot. So unfortunately, it could make it a little difficult for Wilson with the fact that there are enough teams that maybe don't want to have the fire sale because they are still within arm's length of getting a wild card spot. You know, we've seen the Sharks, Calgary, and Vegas finally extend that cushion.
Yeah.
But I mean, St. Louis and Colorado and Dallas and, but oh my God, you know, you think about all the games that Anaheim has lost and the fact that LA was in the cellar for so long, and yet they're still only like 7 points out of a wild card spot.
It shouldn't be called the wild card. It should be called the mediocrity card.
I have no problem with that.
That being said, let's go to your favorite segment and my favorite segment.
Let's reach it around, baby.
Let's reach it around. All right. So as we kind of teased earlier, the Flames lost tonight. Unfortunately, it was in a shootout, so they did gain a point and they were able to tie up with San Jose. But the Flames lose in a shootout to Bobby Bugner's team, the Panthers, 3-2. Islanders beat up on the Blue Jackets, and don't look now, but Islanders are looking like the defensive clampdown machine that Trotz is known to coach. And 3-0 against the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's also call it in, too, that this is like the I want to say like over the last 5 or 6 days is the first time in the last last 3 months that the Islanders now have like a point less than Toronto.
But, right.
You know, the team that got Tavares for the longest time was actually behind the Islanders. You know what? But still, the Islanders, number one in their division, suckers.
Hey, you know what? Maybe the best free agent signing wasn't even a player, but a coach.
Dude, right?
Oh, my God. The Senators lose again to the Red Wings. And, oh, my God, it's written all over the walls. Jack Hughes is going to Colorado.
Holy crap, dude.
Poor franchise. Anyhow, Lightning beat up on the Stars 6-0. I mean, like the Lightning just keep rolling and they just steamrolled the Stars. Looking great for them.
The thing that I hang my hat on with that is the fact that if you go and look at the history of the President's Trophy winner, it's almost like winning the Best New Artist Grammy.
The kiss of death.
Yeah, it's close to a kiss of death thing. Like you go back and look over the last 30 years of hockey, and I want to say that maybe 7 out of the last 30 years, 7 teams that won the President's Trophy also won the Cup. It's, you know, look at the Sharks. Won the President's Trophy that 1 year, and what happened? They got banged out by Anaheim in 6 games in the first round.
Yeah.
Okay. It's nowhere near any type of a lock.
Exactly. Speaking of non-locks, the Canadiens lose to the Predators, who had it on defensive lockdown. It was a 3-1 score. Predators are, you know, starting to kind of cook again, and it's going to be interesting in that Central Division. because that 2-3 in the Central are really going to be beating each other up, especially, and the same could be said in the Pac division as well. That being said, the Avalanche did help us out in the quest for number one seed in the West. The Avalanche beat the Jets 4-1. Boy, the Avs needed that one to kind of keep their playoff hopes alive. Blackhawks beat the Devils 5-2, and the Blackhawks are hanging around. Again, not the wild card, the mediocrity card.
Dude, 2 points. You've got two teams that are 2 points out, you know, a win away from hitting the wild card. And then you've got Arizona, who's two wins out from jumping in the wild card. If for some reason Minnesota falters, And then if Dallas for some reason gets on a stretch, I think this is when we're going to get down to the nitty gritty, when we're like, what was tonight's game? What was tonight? It was like game 56 for the Sharks, I want to say.
58.
So what are we talking? 24 games left?
24 games left.
All right, 24 games left. Yeah, you throw that. Well, okay, for Dallas, 19. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong thing. My bad. Yeah, 25 games left. So with a 4-point lead, you can see this is, I think once we hit like kind of 20 games left, this is when we're going to have to, we might have to do a secondary show on this and just get down into kind of like strength of schedule, winning percentages of, you know, who these guys have to face. Cause one of the problems with Calgary, the Sharks don't have to face Tampa again this year. Calgary just did and lost spectacularly, but Calgary has to face the Islanders again this season. The Sharks don't have to. The Calgary has to face the Maple Leafs again this season, and the Sharks don't have to. There's some teams out there, and if I remember correctly, the Sharks both face Vegas again. Yeah. But Calgary has to face Winnipeg yet again. Where the Sharks don't have to. So yeah, there's a few.
Especially that and the fact that we play Calgary. So it could come down to the games that we play Calgary. And you know what? Those head-to-head games, those are worth their weight in gold. So, you know, you want to circle some must-see TV.
Dude, the last five games for the Sharks this season could be spectacular. Four out of those five are against Pacific Division teams. You got Vegas, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, and then finishing with Colorado. And if Colorado is still at this point where they're at now, where they're just 2 points out of a wild card spot, holy hell, how's that team going to play? This is fun. That, you know, you have to take a little bit of enjoyment in this, because if you don't, you're just going to like, you know, bite your fingernails down to the nub. Because how badly do the Sharks need to win the Pacific to ensure that Calgary and Vegas beat the crap out of each other in the first round and the Sharks face, like, I don't know,
Minnesota,
Vancouver?
Oh, yeah. That,
you know,
that would be a train wreck.
How great would that be?
Oh, man, that might be two sweeps in franchise history against the same team. Fantastic. The Blues beat up on the Coyotes, and now don't look now, but the Blues are playing some really good hockey. They beat them 4-0. Blues have
8-game win streak, bro.
Yeah, 8-game win streak, and they have games in hand on the wild card. So I think I held fast to my prediction that the Blues were going to be in the top three in the Central. I still believe that. I think they're going to be third, but they're going to be top three in the Central.
Well, and it's so funny. Okay. Well, hold on. It's so funny to bring up the Blues, because if we go back just like a short month and a half, we're talking about a team who was like languishing in sixth. Like, everybody was asking, what the hell is going on with the Blues? If you looked at all the prognosticators at the end of September, beginning of October, most people had, okay, 1-2 in the Central. Winnipeg and Nashville are going to beat the crap out of each other. St. Louis is who I have slotted into that third spot. And then blah, blah, blah. And for up until about 3 weeks ago, everybody was like, what the hell happened to St. Louis? And now look at them just pouring it 9-1-0 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Holy hell. Again, it comes back to the idea of, I want to see strength of schedule down the last 20.
Yep. Maple Leafs do us a favor and beat the Golden Knights 6-3. Canucks edge out the Kings in a shootout 4-3. So they keep their playoff lives, you know, hanging on by the skin of their teeth. But again, mediocrity card.
Mediocrity card. And Vegas now on a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah. And finally, we got the, you know, we have our game where Sharks fall to the Capitals 5-1. So the Sharks, you know, losing tonight wasn't the worst thing in the world because the teams around them also lost. But, you know, it was a missed opportunity, and that's for sure. Yeah. So hopefully they'll bring their A game against Vancouver. Again, I would not be surprised if they get blitzed in the first 5 to 10 minutes of that game.
Yeah. We'll see I want to see what Markstrom brings to the table. You know, they may start Markstrom, even though he's still feeling a little tightness as to the reason why he didn't start the last game against San Jose. Because remember, just a couple days ago, we have a Korean visitor in the chat. Welcome. Not sure how you ended up here, but we welcome all. Marty's saying that I can speak Korean. He thinks I can. And I have a very small Korean phrase that I can speak. And here it is. Barbecue. There you go. Korean barbecue is fantastic.
Yeah, we got a place here in San Diego. It's called Mana. It's on point, especially when you put the bulgogi with the kimchi. Oh, I
love yes.
It. But anyhow, I think we're going to end it there. We're going to cut it underneath that hour marker, and that's kind of where we're at. So with that being said, AJ, final thoughts on tonight's game and where the Sharks are headed while I cue up that graphic.
Yeah, you know, pull your Taylor Swift, guys. Shake it off. We've seen this time and time again. You have a spectacular road trip and you come home and you kind of, you know, maybe the, shall we say the sword is swinging a little bigger than normal, you know, when you come home after a road trip like that and you feel like you can just kind of throw it out on the ice because you're kind of a badass after a road trip like that. And then you get, you know, your ass handed to you a little bit tonight. And you know what? Work it out. Let's get Jones back to where he was. Again, Jones working on a beautiful save percentage and goals against average from the All-Star break. Tonight, hopefully, was an anomaly and not a sign of things to come. So let's tighten down the team defense. Because since the All-Star break, this is the only game that you hadn't that you had let in more than two goals. So exactly. let's tighten that back down. And there you go. Get back on point, use Vancouver as a perfect opportunity to, you know, get things back in rhythm. And there you go. I mean, let's take
out our aggression on Vancouver again.
Exactly. Vancouver aggression, baby. You know, first playoff sweep in history.
Vancouver. Yeah, right. So, and yes. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, I'm just signing off. AJ underscore strong on Twitter and Instagram. Also throwing up some Instas for Teal Town USA, as is the newly returned to San Jose, R Backhander 76. She also threw up some great stuff from the Sharks practice today. I assume we're going to see a little bit more of that. Maybe perhaps just a scotch. So look for that. And there you go. And new Pucknologist will drop over the weekend. Eric.
Yes, I love kimchi. The spicier it is, the better it is. As far as where you can find me on all the social media garbage using my first name, Eric, spelled with a K, and my last name, L-A-N-D-I, Landy. And again, I'm on all of the social media garbage. As for the show and where you can catch the show, if you missed anything from tonight's or even previous shows, or you want to catch a Pucknologist or any of the other properties that we have underneath the Teal Town USA After Dark or Teal Town USA banner, check us out on tealtownusa.com. Use your favorite podcatcher, that being iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course the YouTubes to find us and find the next showing of Teal Town USA After Dark. And that would be against Vancouver. And we will see you then, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all.
Hold on.
Oh,
Wait a minute. Hold on. We're working on something. One second. Okay. We just every once in a while you need to drop in that special guest. We're gonna do that now. What up, y'all?
Oh, she's back.
We saw rocket noises and everything at Man Hoover. So when you see all those things, you know, you have to bring her in. Now, okay, where's Laurel? Where the hell is Laurel? I haven't seen Laurel all night tonight.
Yeah, no, I don't see her.
Rocket, would you like to explain what ice football is?
No.
Evidently not.
No idea. All right, so I'm going to do my best impression of Puck Guy 14. Keep it real and keep it real, Teal. Thanks all.